The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another browsing edition. Whatever. Welcome to another Computer Corner. Brandon Disney, Ben Cruzy here on a Saturday afternoon talking to you about technology, about computers, about things in your life that frustrate you or that make your life easier, make your life better, make it maybe not so better. Maybe we're talking about gosh, whatever you want to talk about. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. That's the number you can dial in on. Of course, if you're afraid of the phones or the phones are all busy, you can join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. And that's where you'll find this week's theme. You'll find places to ask a question, make a suggestion. Those things come to us here in the studio, and we can check those out, talk about them. Of course, we did mention that we have a theme, and we do each and every week. This week's theme, it's the smartphone show. Well, not just smartphones. We're going to talk all about the different choices when it comes to smartphones, more and more people jumping on the smartphone bandwagon. We did a show similar to this about a year ago, but so much has changed in a year. Everybody that I know pretty much has switched, if they had a smartphone before, to a different kind of smartphone, or if they didn't, they've switched to something that is a quote-unquote smartphone. So we'll talk about some of the choices out there, the pros, the cons, the advantages, the disadvantages. We can talk about what I use as a phone, or Ben uses, or Ken, or whoever else. It's all the same device, which is strange. and a year ago, each one of us had a different kind of device, different operating system, different brand, different manufacturer. So it's interesting that we've all jumped to the same device, and there's a number of us that share that device. So, again, 602-277-5827, that's the number you'll want to commit to memory because all the lines are already booked up. So when you hear somebody hang up, that'll be a chance for you to dial in. Again, 602-277-KTAR. Just remember that number. How you doing, Ben?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm turning my headphones up because I can't hear myself. And that's very, very important that I be able to hear myself talk, right?
Yes, it is.
And you?
I can hear myself, though.
Good. Good to know. So, smartphones. You prepared for that?
Yeah.
Ready for that?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. And of course, people are going to call up with their questions about what antivirus we should be using, or I got a new computer, or is it really worth buying a new computer? What about fixing it? And can you really extend the life of a computer if it's just slowing down and bogging down? And what's the best bang for the buck to make it go faster? And all those kinds of things. So we can talk about those things as well. But we'll kind of mix and mingle, if you will, with the smartphone topic. And again, we've got resources posted for you if you want to get a head start, a little jump on the action. datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see under this week's links, conveniently, that's the resources we're talking about.
Yep.
And again, on the right-hand side under feedback, you can ask a question, give us some comments, or post in our blog for the world to see.
Please ask a question.
Ben would love to answer your question. We got a bunch of them in the mailbag now that we'll kind of talk about as things move forward. So
any smartphone questions?
I don't see anything specifically about smartphones, but there's things about attachments or internet radio, or hey, how come my newsletter stopped coming to me, all those kinds of things. So there's some cool stuff there. Should we jump right in on the phones first thing? Just get rolling.
Yeah, let's
do it. And we'll talk about the smartphones, I think, in a bit. Let's get warmed up first. And up first, it's Lewis. I'm guessing it's the one and only Lewis who comes to us each week. Lewis, welcome.
Good morning. How are you? You want me to report in on my Touch Diamonds that I got? I thought I would do that, then ask a question if you have time.
Your Touch Diamonds?
Yeah, this is a HTC Touch Diamond. It's a lot smaller than the iPhone, but it has a pretty large screen.
Let's slow down and touch. HTC is a hardware manufacturer, okay? So
yep.
they manufacture phones, both smart and less smart. They actually are the company that manufactures the phone known as the Google G1 or the Android, right? That device that is now out from T-Mobile that's supposed to be a competitor slash killer to the iPhone. They manufacture a bunch of other devices, but that's probably their best known. So you now have some new fangled HTC device called the, what is it again?
HTC Touch Diamond.
Touch
I've
Diamond.
Had it, yeah, I've
hey,
had
hey,
it
hey,
about,
hey,
so.
Hey, Lewis, are you screaming in the phone or is it my imagination?
Oh, well, I thought usually when I don't, you
oh,
know, like,
that's a
better?
That's a thousand times better.
Oh, okay.
You were killing me. All right.
I hate to do that.
So tell me about your Touch Diamond. Is it smart, first of all?
Oh, yes.
So you fit the topic. Good.
I can browse the internet with it.
Okay.
I can tether it to my computer if I'm not in a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Now, when you say tether it to a computer, there's plenty of people that are going, well, what's that mean? Like tie it up to it?
Yeah, explain it then.
Yeah, so tethering is the act of...
I plug it into the USB port of my computer,
yeah.
Hit a couple buttons on my telephone, and then my computer can access the internet.
So rather than have to get one of those separate devices that you're paying a separate fee for that plugs in that lets you use the cell phone network
yes.
to browse, you're now using your phone as that type of thing and using
yeah.
the minute
it's
plan
not
on
real
it.
Real fast, but it's pretty good.
Cool.
And the several things I really like about it is its small size. I can surf the internet, and it's easy to read, easy to enlarge. Thing so I can read on the screen any size or type I want.
All the stuff you love about it is really second because people kind of expect it to work. There's got to be stuff like on the iPhone. I have an iPhone. Ben has an iPhone. Copy and paste, right? Doesn't have it. Drives you crazy. The multimedia messaging, it doesn't have it, but not that big a deal. I mean, do you really care about
yeah.
getting a picture? So what about your deal do you not like? What's the weakest part or parts?
Well, let me say one more thing I really, really like about it. That's the voice commands. I can call people. I can dial numbers and never even know where the phone is. I can find out the date, the time, the condition of the battery. It's just the voice recognition is phenomenal, I think.
All right.
Things I don't like about it are kind of minor. I'm getting duplicates when I synchronize it with my... computer. Also, the and I think this may be due to a Windows Mobile thing. The times all switch, and I think I've mentioned this to you before. If I go to another time zone, it will switch. Like if I go to the East Coast in the summer, it'll switch all my appointments to 3 hours earlier.
Right. Most phones have the ability where you can turn on adjustments for time zones. So that probably is a setting somewhere. I know that my old Palm Trio would do that kind of thing until I found the little checkbox that said to adjust for time zones. And
where did
my,
you find the checkbox?
I'm sure it's going to be different for different phones, but it was buried away in some settings somewhere in the phone. And my iPhone has a similar kind of function where if you haven't checked the appropriate box one way or the other or slid the switch or done whatever it is that has to be done,
yeah.
it doesn't respect time zones. And when you travel, it screws you all up. So
yeah, that's right.
So you might want to look around and dig. I'm sure they've got a setting for that. If not, then that's one of those copy-paste oversights that that I'm sure will get corrected. But
yeah.
But complain about that if for sure it doesn't have such a thing. Go on the manufacturer's website, find a place. If enough people say, hey, here's a missing feature or an oversight, they'll get that corrected.
Yeah, or they may just point to Windows Mobile and say it's not our problem.
Yeah, you never know. That is part of the problem when the device manufacturer and the software manufacturer are different, and that's one of the things you run into, and that's just part of life, I suppose. Hey, Lewis, thanks for the...
Couple other negatives?
Well, we actually got to go to a break, but thanks for the call so much. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Back in a flash. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about smartphones. At least that's part of what we're talking about. Of course, we're talking to you about whatever your technology concern, frustration, joy, whatever it is. 602-277-5827, or of course, join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. That's where you'll find this week's theme, the Battle of the Smartphones 2009. We pretty much have standardized over in the... the Data Doctor's World on iPhones. And a year ago, Ken had a BlackBerry. I had a Palm Trio that ran Palm operating system. Another one of the guys at the time in the studio had a Palm, but it ran the Windows operating system. Another guy had, I think we had one guy that had the early iPhone. And we were just all over the place, and everybody had their parts that they liked. You know, Ken was real big on email, but not much anything else, so the BlackBerry was best for him. You know, it was just really kind of a strange world. The iPhone was kind of not a great choice then because they didn't have very good support for a few things, especially when it came to the working world. Email and calendar synchronization, those kinds of things, was pretty weak. Of course, with their launch of their second version, the 3G iPhone, the speeds picked up quite a bit. Of the ability to sync properly with an Exchange server, synchronize then contacts and email and calendar events and all that stuff became just super, super easy. Actually, the easiest phone I've ever set up with those kinds of things. A lot of us made the jump, and a lot of you made the jump. And I think BlackBerry, I believe, is still the number one device for smartphones out there. RIM, Research in Motion, the company that makes those, they're still the number one, but they're quickly being caught up by the iPhone, and now Google with their G1 device, or that's T-Mobile's device, depending on how you want to look at it. That's now out, and so there's a couple of challengers out there in the world that are coming to try to hunt down Research in Motion, the BlackBerry.
One of the sites I go to frequently, the number one phone for that site is actually the iPhone.
The iPhone, huh?
Yeah.
Is it Apple's website?
No, it's not, actually.
Oh, okay. I just said that wouldn't be a big surprise, right? So we can talk about that if that's what you want to talk about, 602-277-5827, or whatever your question might be. I think before we went to the break, we were talking with Lewis, and we're just going to wrap things up with him. Hey, Lewis, you said you had two more things that were annoying about your HTC Diamond Touch.
When you're on a telephone call, if you want to get to the keypad, which of course is on screen, you have to press a couple buttons, which is a little bit inconvenient. I got...
If only they had mind control down, then that would be more convenient, right?
If what?
If they had mind control working, then that would be more convenient?
Yeah, they're working on that. This was expensive. I got unlocked, not subsidized by any carrier, so a carrier that does not offer the phone, but that's okay with me.
So what did you pay for the device then, buying it without a contract attached?
About $650.
Wow, some people would say you're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people. Anyway.
Yeah, but you don't know how long I spent with another telephone milking along, so I figured I deserved it.
All right.
Have a SD card slot, but it does have 4 gigabytes of memory, so that's kind of a wash.
All right. Well, it sounds like overall you like it. You spent enough you better, or you'd be really disappointed. So, thanks for the call, Lewis. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And we'll talk to you next time.
You bet.
Thanks. Bye-bye. That frees up a line, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. You want to help Kathleen? She's got some questions about installing Office, I think, and with Vista. And hey, Kathleen, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. Is your phone a quote unquote a smartphone, or do you still have one of the less smart devices out there?
Oh no, I have a smartphone. I bought some of the very first smartphones when they came out, so I've got an HTC, which is branded with AT&T Tilt right now.
Oh, okay. And do you love it, or is it just okay?
I love it.
You love it.
It's a touchscreen.
Oh, look at you with a touchscreen.
Yeah. So I get to, you know, scribble on it if I need to. It's also got voice command. I depend on it totally as far as Outlook and the calendar. You know, it reminds me regularly to pay my bills on time.
So it's less than a toy and more of an object you can't live without. Hey, quickly, before we go to break here, Kathleen, why don't you ask your question, and then we're going to think about it over the break, and when we come back, we're going to answer your question and give you some help.
I would really appreciate that. Bought a brand new Gateway laptop. It's Vista Service Pack 1 on it. With it, I bought Microsoft Office Small Business, and it says it's compatible with Vista. Yet when I try to install the second CD, which has the accounting package and SQL Server 2005 Express, it says it cannot install it, cannot install that server, and without it, it won't install the rest of the programs.
All right, Kathleen, I'm going to pop you on hold. We're going to talk about that as soon as we come back. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Please stick around. Apple, busy at work, fixing lots and lots of holes with some security updates that they've recently released. Mac OS, because people are buying more and more of these machines and they're getting popularity. There's more threats. There's more hackers targeting that operating system. And so Apple's had to up their game and get fixes and patches and things turned around. If you're looking for the latest Apple fixes, the easiest way to get those is click on the Apple icon within Mac OS. And click under Software Update. Make sure you're connected to the internet, of course, and it'll walk you through the rest of the steps. If you're looking for step-by-step instructions and hand-holding galore, our weekly newsletter contains some of those tips. You can sign up, subscribe, whatever you want to call it, anytime online, datadoctors.com. You put your name where it says email address here, hit the button that says subscribe, and follow the on-screen instructions. It's super-duper simple.
You have a Mac, don't you?
I do.
You like it?
Yeah.
I was messing with the other day, and I really was... Pretty nice.
Yeah. I got Windows machine, Mac machines. You know what's funny is I got the Mac, and I, of course, did the Windows boot camp thing, meaning you can boot into both Windows or
it's not really Windows
Mac OS, and I set it all up so I could use Windows on it, and then I find myself hardly ever going into Windows. I just use the Mac stuff. So
no.
It's all good. Hmm. Just another way to work. It's a little bit... There's a couple of things that sort of annoy me. The delete key on a Mac is not the equivalent of a delete key on a regular keyboard.
Hmm.
It's the equivalent of a backspace key. And so a delete key, normally you'd put your cursor just in front of a character you want to remove and then hit delete, right? And it will remove the character just to the right.
Yeah.
A backspace key works opposite, right? It removes the character just to the left.
Yeah.
So that's a little annoying thing. It's the key is labeled delete, but it works like a backspace. Now, it has an arrow pointing left, so it sort of tells you what it's going to do. But where it's really annoying and frustrating is if you're browsing the internet. If you're browsing the internet on a Windows-based computer and you want to go back, the keyboard shortcut for that is backspace.
Yeah.
Right?
Not with Mac.
If you hit the delete key on a Mac trying to delete something from a form field, mm-hmm. guess what it does? It's the same as pushing the back button. It takes you back. So delete is really backspace. They need to relabel the key. It's annoying. It's frustrating. I don't like it.
Can you switch the keys around yourself, like hotkey it, kind of?
I don't know. Probably there's some way to do it.
Hmm.
That is... It's a dumb little thing. It's simple, but it's annoying. Also, I'm a keyboard shortcut kind of guy. When I want to cut and paste something, I do Control-C and Control-V, right, in Windows?
Yeah.
In Mac, Control-C does nothing. Control-V does nothing.
Hmm.
It's Command-C, Command-V, which is the key just to the right of Control on a Mac. It doesn't exist on a Windows keyboard. Frustrating. Don't like it.
No.
Want to spank you.
No, thank you.
All right.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, thanks. Should we jump back on? Oh, you know what? I forgot about Kathleen, and
oh,
I feel bad. Hey, Kathleen.
Hello.
You asked a question before the break, and I said we were going to answer your question, and then I went into my rant about the keys I don't like on a Mac, and I neglected you, and I'm so sorry.
Thank you for coming back to me.
So, you have a computer, has Vista on it. You have Office Small Business Edition, and during the installation process, you're getting problems. And did you say what version of Office you have? Because if you did, I missed
2007,
it.
2007, brand new out of the package from Best Buy.
Okay, so you had the latest version of Office. They said absolutely 100% compatible.
Yep.
Even though I'm a guy that sells refrigerators and mayonnaise, I also sell computers. I know what I'm talking about. Trust me. You're on your second disk, and it's giving you errors, telling you it can't install. And I'm going to guess it is the Outlook Contact Manager or the Small Business Accounting?
Well, it's actually, yeah, there's an accounting package, Accounting 2008, along with all the Outlook and the Contact Manager. There's about 8 programs on the second disk that won't install because it says it cannot install SQL Server 2005 Express.
Okay.
And it says it's not compatible.
And which version of Vista do you have? Do you know?
Vista Service Pack 1.
So there's Basic, there's...
It is Basic. It's Home Edition or Basic, yeah.
Okay.
Home Premium.
Yeah.
Home Premium's different. Okay, so there are some versions of Vista, and the home versions, quote-unquote, will not allow you to install. There's a couple of caveats. They won't let you install SQL Server or SQL Express, which is sort of the free light version. That's only installable in the business versions.
Oh, geez, great. So yes,
they're right. Now, Office will install, but some of these extra applications will not. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is that I found very few people that actually use that business contact manager because it's not quite all it's cracked up to be.
Okay.
Is that the only extra app that you...
I really want the accounting.
The small business accounting. Well, that you have to have the SQL Express in there. So there's a couple of options. Well, really, the only real correct option is you need to upgrade the version of Vista that's on the machine from Home Premium to, say, Ultimate or to Business. What's the business one called? Is it just called Vista Business?
Yeah.
Maybe it is called Vista Business.
I think so, yeah.
It's the business class operating systems. Microsoft did this a couple of years ago with their server operating systems. They took, instead of just having a Windows server, say, for example, Server 2000, when they went to 2003, they created a web edition that was made for people who are trying to run websites, and they made a standard, and they made a small business. They made all these different versions, and they were trying to hit lower price points by doing it. And in the process, what they did was disable a few features. So that's one of the things they disabled. They said, okay, if you're running a home operating system, then there's no need for you to run a business class program. And it's not that the operating system wouldn't be capable. It's they want to encourage you to buy the next version up.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So the people at Best Buy, I would go back and try to talk to the manager there and try to see how far you're going to get. I know from experience, maybe not very far. But they did you a little bit of a disservice by either not being properly educated and telling you that, oh, yes, this should work, no problem, and or not steering you in the proper direction for the version of Office. So regular versions of Office, meaning the like student-teacher edition and some of the other stuff that just has Word and Excel and Outlook and PowerPoint and all these kinds of things, they'd absolutely work. It's when you get to the small business accounting, the stuff that really is more business-oriented, it needs to go with a business-oriented operating system, and that's where the pairing is wrong.
Well, excellent, because I posed this question to the Geek Squad at Best Buy, and they didn't have an answer, and you guys did.
Well, thank you for that commercial.
You're welcome.
Hey, Kathleen, so that is where your Ed is. So they're half right, and unfortunately it's not the half you care about. Office is compatible, but the caveat is that a couple of those applications, especially in the small business edition, which is targeted at people in a business setting,
mm-hmm.
and really they didn't ask you probably enough questions or the right questions to find out that you're a business user. They should have sold you an operating system that was for business users.
Correct.
And so that's where the problem is. That's where the upgrade needs to occur. It's not, and the other issue it might be that a place like Best Buy probably isn't going to stock the business class operating system. They'd have to special order that. The only thing they could have done is take you to what's called Windows Ultimate, which is got pretty much the kitchen sink in it. So there is an upgrade path for that, and perhaps if you do enough squeaky wheeling with the right people over there, they'll help you or compensate you in some way for that.
Well, thank you for that. Now, do you know what those next versions run as far as cost?
Gosh, I don't. It depends. There's a Home Basic and a Home Premium, so it depends on which one you have,
mm-hmm.
what the upgrade path is. You can go from Home to Business, or you can go from wherever you're at to Ultimate. And I don't know exactly what that runs, and there's different ways of getting there as far as an upgrade or purchasing new or all those kinds of things. And so it's really going to depend on where you're at and where you're going.
Well, thank you so much. It's been very disappointing to have a brand new laptop and a brand new program, and I've not been able to put it together for 30 days.
Well, at least you now know why, and knowing that helps then get to the, okay, how are we going to get from here to there, and really, are these guys going to make it right or not? They're the ones who were advising you. You trusted them. They did you a disservice, and now you're going to have to see if you can fight to get them to take care of you properly.
I will definitely do that.
Okay.
I have a real quick question on smartphones.
Okay.
My HTC phone seems to get overloaded from time to time, and I have to do reboots probably every 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
Do you have any information as to why they seem to go a little crazy? What happens is it refuses to stay on the network and be able to download any
right.
of the Internet.
Right. So I would, the reality is, a ton of device manufacturers are rushing things to market right now because they're trying to make sure they can compete with the iPhone, which is sort of the standard everybody looks to try to do, whether it's the best or not. That's where everybody's trying to outdo. And in their rush to get things to market, there's issues and problems. And so the thing I would definitely want to check is there a update, a software update, a firmware update, whatever they want to call it, available for that phone?
Okay.
And if so, apply it. In the case of an iPhone, as an example, every time I plug it into my computer, which charges it and synchronizes it, if there's an update available, it pops up on the screen and tells me, and it's a, you want to update now, yes or no. And so it's super simple. Some manufacturers are able to do that through the network, meaning your phone, it'll pop up and ask, or it'll just do it. In other cases, you have to jump through some steps, and I'm not 100% sure on your device, but I would check to see if there's updates available. And those usually, the kind of problem you're having, others are probably having too, and they generally have those solved through updates and upgrades.
Would that be through HCT or through AT&T, which has now branded it?
Hard to say.
Or even Microsoft, if it's a Microsoft operating system.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so it could be any of the above, and probably the best bet, start with who you pay your bill to, and that would be AT&T,
mm-hmm.
and see if they can point you in the right direction or help you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
You've been very helpful. Thanks so much.
I hope so. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. That frees up a line, 602-277-5827. We're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, it's more about smartphones. And, of course, coming up on the show very shortly, Ben is going to be bringing us our Geek Speak of the Week.
Yes.
And our Head Whack of the Week. So you want to stick around for those. 602-277-5827. Stick around. It's the Computer Corner back after this. Want to know how to avoid becoming part of a botnet? Want to know what a botnet even is? You can find out this week's advice column. You want to know where you can find this week's advice column, don't you? Well, if you're a subscriber to our newsletter, you already got it. It's in your inbox. If you want to subscribe, datadoctors.com. Put your email address in where it asks for your email address. Hit subscribe. Follow the on-screen instructions if you want a preview. Or you want to link directly to that advice column. Just surf on over to datadoctors.com/help. And right there on that page, it'll say weekly advice column. And it'll say,
that's
how do I avoid becoming part of a botnet? And you click it, it'll tell you. Right, Ben?
That's right. That's my favorite webpage.
Datadoctors.com/help?
Just datadoctors.com.
That's your favorite webpage?
That's my favorite webpage.
We got to get you out more, bro. We got to get you out more. I mean, I appreciate you, you know.
Yeah.
Pretending like that.
It's my homepage.
It should be an important part of your daily surfing to find out what's going on, but I don't know that it has to qualify as your favorite webpage.
I like it.
I appreciate that. All right, thanks. I'm going to fix the maps, too, by the way. Somebody told me the little pinpoint thing isn't working, and they're right. The little pinpoint thing isn't working. What's up with that?
What happened?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
What'd you do?
I don't know. I probably didn't do anything. They probably changed something.
Yeah.
The internet changed all around me. You believe that.
Changes too fast.
Yeah. Should we go back to the phones?
Let's do it.
We got a few minutes, and let's see if we can help out. Where is he at? I think it's Robert up next on the Computer Corner. Robert?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Great. How can we help you, sir?
Okay. Well, I've got a bit of a dilemma. Right now I'm using ABG antivirus on my home PC.
Okay.
And it seems to check the system daily. And the problem is that it takes an extremely long time, anywhere from an hour to 2-3 hours at a time.
Okay.
So I'm actually thinking about just going ahead and dumping the ABG and was wanting to find out what you guys would recommend as far as a good antivirus and protection software out there.
Okay. I can tell you, let's get into a couple of things. First, antivirus software in the old early days of antivirus. It was software that you would run from time to time to make sure you didn't have a virus, and if you did, clean it up. The world has changed, and it changed a long time ago. Generally, antivirus software is there to prevent the virus in the first place and can also be used what we call on-demand, meaning to scan from time to time. Some antivirus programs automatically set themselves to do this on-demand scan daily. Some of them set it to do it weekly. The choice is sort of yours. What I recommend you do is that you have it turned on and enabled, and it helps protect you from things in real time, but then also let it go ahead and do probably a weekly scan just to make sure there's no problem, something that slipped by, that kind of thing, and or sometimes something will come out after the fact and it'll help catch up and clean up any of those kinds of things that might happen in the past.
Okay.
So then the question comes down to now, all of them take a long time if they're going to do that on-demand scan, because it's got to look through every file on your entire computer, and anything that is a compressed file, meaning more than one file inside of a file, it's got to open those things up, look inside, close them back up, and move on. And so everybody knows, I think, these days that hard drives have gotten larger and larger, and we have more and more data stored, more and more files stored, and so it just takes a long time.
Yeah.
Generally, those on-demand scans run overnight when we're not looking at it and thinking about it, and that's what I would recommend you set those things to do. So with that all said, AVG, there's a bunch of different antivirus programs out there, and there's a lot more that goes into a decision we make about what antivirus we recommend and what we use in our stores and on our own computers and things, okay, than just a price or a brand or a name. We look at things like performance. We look at how much of an impact it has on the system. We look at how confusing or how simple the interface is. And is it easy for people to understand when something pops up so that they know what choice to make? Because some of these things, they do a great job of blocking viruses, but they pop up choices that a consumer can't possibly make. It's yes or no, and
right,
it might as well be Greek because they don't know how to answer the question. And
sure,
so we look at all these kinds of things and layer that all in, and we come up with what we feel to be the best antivirus, anti-spyware software at any particular point in time, and that changes over time.
Okay.
It has been for at least the last year and a half or so, and currently is our opinion, and what we sell in our stores is what we feel is the best, is a product out by a company called WebRoot, and they make a antivirus, anti-spyware, plus it comes with a firewall that adds to the firewall built into Windows, doesn't replace. And we feel like that to be a real good combination of effective protection, pretty moderate cost in the scheme of things. It doesn't have a huge impact on the system, but it does a good job of protecting. So to us, it's the nice balance of all those things we mentioned. So that's what we use. That's what we sell in our stores. We service lots and lots of computers, and many of them go out the door with that installed. And
okay,
that's our two cents.
Yeah.
Okay, that was WebRoot?
WebRoot's the name of the company. And
okay,
it's the product is a combination that we like. It's an antivirus, anti-spyware.
Okay.
And it also comes with a firewall. Now, they also may bundle it with lots of other things. I wouldn't recommend you do anything more than those components.
Right.
So that's our advice. There's certainly this is one of those things that you can ask 10 people and you're going to get 10 answers. It's a Ford, Chevy, Dodge kind of thing. But that's what we've standardized on, and that's the best advice I can give you. Thanks for the call, Robert. We really appreciate it. We got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. Stick around through the break. When we come back, our Geek Speak of the Week, Head Whack of the Week, and more of your calls right after this short news break. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
whoa! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Computer Corner. In case you missed any part of the show, you want to get caught up on the Battle of the Smartphones 2009, we've got all the links, all the resources, all kinds of stuff for you posted. datadoctors.com/radio is where you'll want to go. And of course, later on in the week, we'll have the audio archive of this show. And if you want to hear past shows, see the resources, you can click where it says previous shows and go way, 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 way back in time. We've been doing this show for over a decade here and got lots and lots of resources for you. So check those things out whenever you need them. It's time now for something we do each and every week called our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week since the beginning of time, well, at least for the last couple of years anyway, we have put together, brought together, a word or two or a phrase from the language of the nerds and the geeks and the nerds to try to educate you and help you understand, A, what they're saying, and B, fight back. And we call it our Geek Speak of the Week.
Fun.
Take it away, Ben.
Today's Geek Speak of the Week is BlackBerry Prayer.
BlackBerry Prayer?
Yes.
BlackBerry Pro. Well, since we're talking about smartphones, it's got to be something to do with BlackBerry, a.k.a. smartphones.
Yeah.
BlackBerry Pro. I'm trying to figure out what a BlackBerry Pro would be. See, I've tried to get in the habit of not reading the Geek Speak of the Week.
Okay.
So that I can try to play along like I don't understand, but I don't even have a clue on this one. Sometimes, well, I sort of get them.
Okay. What I think the BlackBerry Pro is when you, when you're holding your BlackBerry in both hands and you're texting with your thumbs,
yeah,
and your head is down. It looks like you're praying.
All right.
This is like the most amazingest, you know, Geek Speak of the Week I've ever
seen.
The
most amazingest?
Is that even a word, though?
Yeah. I don't think so.
Nah,
Pete, amazingest. No.
No.
Okay. The call is no.
Right.
Pete knows how to direct the show and get the right buttons at the right times to make it sound good.
Yeah.
He knows amazingest isn't a word.
Okay. Yeah. Well, either way, it's amazing.
It's the most awesomest?
It is, yes. Awesomest.
All right. What about our Head Whack of the Week? Have you taken a look at that?
It's about warning sounds.
Warning sounds?
Yeah.
What do you mean warning sounds?
Like, you know, when you turn on your computer and there's an error, you know, it beeps and screams at you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So besides the default ones, you can change those, but what's the head whack part?
I didn't hear the warning sounds.
Oh.
Yeah.
So maybe if you didn't hear it because your speakers are turned down or because you don't hear so well or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
There's a cool feature, a cool function in both Windows XP and Windows Vista called Sound Sentry. Sound Sentry is put into place specifically when you don't have speakers or you need to be able to know that a warning has occurred or an error has occurred or something has occurred, but you need to visually see it rather than hear it. And so Sound Sentry is available in the accessibility options within Control Panel, and it basically puts an alert and flashes something on the screen when something occurs, when a error sound or a warning sound would normally occur. So if that is something you need, you can get the instructions, the steps, whatever it is you want to call those, in our latest newsletter. And if you didn't subscribe and you're thinking, oh, I wish I'd just subscribed, well, first, go get subscribed so you can get the future ones.
Yeah.
Then click over to our free help center at datadoctors.com and click where it says newsletter archive or weekly newsletter, and you'll see the last 20 of them posted there for you to view and print and copy and paste and commit to memory and burn after reading and do whatever it is you got to do, so that you can take advantage of those kinds of tips. You'll find it under this week's Head Whack of the Week. Check that stuff out.
Yeah.
Back to the phones. We should have done this all through a smartphone. No, it's not that good. All right, let's see. A lot of people with antivirus or virus kind of questions. I see one, like three of the people on hold. Let's just maybe start at the top with Leona, who's been holding, I believe, the longest. Hey, Leona, thanks for holding. How can we help?
Oh, hi, guys. Hey, my son's got a laptop. It's a Toshiba Satellite. I can't remember the model, but it's got XP, and he's running McAfee on it as the virus. And for the last couple of weeks, he'd had an antivirus 360 pop up.
Okay.
So he brought it over. I cleaned it out. I ran all the SpyBot virus whatnot and searched for it, and it says it's not there. But then when he goes to get on the internet, it, like, let's say MSN, it comes up, and after about 2 or 3 seconds, it pops off, and it goes, and it says it's a blank page, cannot display.
Right.
So I've gone through, and I searched it again, couldn't find it, you know, and so now I'm at a loss. I mean, I even had it side by side by my computer and checked all the settings, and it's still not working.
Yeah,
I'm at a loss.
This is one of those really aggressive pieces of malware that's out there. That's one of a copycat. So
right.
So there's the original one, we think, sort of started back with something called Antivirus 2007,
uh-huh.
And it changed into 10 different other names that sort of make it sound like you've got something that's supposed to help you get rid of problems, not add to them.
Right.
And usually there's a precursor even before that. And this stuff comes generally from going to websites that have infected pages, whether the person that has the website knows it or not. They can also come from opening certain kinds of attachments, clicking on links that are not safe links, these kinds of things. And so these are in a realm of what we call self-inflicted viruses. And people have, I think, a false sense of security when they have antivirus software, thinking that I'm pretty much bulletproof, and so I can do whatever, and my antivirus software will stop me. And the reality is that there's no antivirus software out there on the planet that's going to stop and overcome the things that we can do. And
right.
So while it's important to have that kind of stuff, It's also important to practice safe surfing. And it's similar to, I liken it to driving in a car. So having seat belts, having airbags, having anti-lock brakes, all important safety equipment that help you avoid accidents and problems. But nothing takes the place of a human. And the proof of that is that if you drive down the road and you are careful about how you drive, those things will help you avoid accidents. But if you're not paying attention to driving and you're driving with your eyes closed, those things aren't going to do you a whole lot of good.
They're not, exactly.
Right. And so antivirus, anti-spyware, all these things are there to help you, but you have to still be in the driver's seat.
Right. You have to be diligent and make sure that you don't do anything to, like you said.
Correct. So that's how the thing got in there. Now, the reality is that cleaning those kinds of viruses out, that anything that's in that realm of these newer kind of viruses, that they really get themselves in there deep. They're very difficult to get out. We spend a tremendous amount of time on these kinds of things as professionals. And your choices as a consumer are to really just keep fighting through it. And it may take days of time to clean these things up. There's not a magic one-button push or fix that we've found or that we've come up with or that anybody else has found for that matter.
Yeah.
Or you end up, your other choice is to reload the operating system and start over. And that has a lot of pain associated with it, but it's the least expensive route to go.
Well, that's the point where I'm at. Like I said, I've gone through the registry. I've done everything that I know that I can do. I've gone on and Googled the antivirus 360. I've done everything, you know, all the different suggestions. And you know, I still can't find anything else in the,
right.
You know, his operating system. So I'm at a point where...
You've exhausted everything you got, so it's either pay a professional or wipe it out and start over. And if you're going to wipe it out and start over, the most important thing I can tell you is to make a complete backup of everything you care about and make sure you have the disks and the keys or codes or installation IDs or whatever it is for each of the pieces of software you need to install.
Right.
And get that stuff ahead of time.
Right.
We see people all the time that come in that started down the path. They don't have something to complete it, and now they're stuck.
And now they're stuck. No. Now, I'm very diligent about that. I have it all put away, and I told him, I said, you know, make sure it's all backed up. So he's done that part of it.
Okay. So then it's just the pain of going through it and getting settings and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
yeah.
But it's all doable, and where you're at, that's probably the path I'd recommend if you're trying to save bucks. That's the way I'd go. So... Thanks for the call. We really appreciate it. We got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. More of your calls and questions when we come back right after this. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, we already told you where you can go. But in case you missed it, datadoctors.com/radio. We've been talking a little bit about smartphones. We've been talking about all kinds of other stuff, too. I wanted to thank George, who wrote in with a Mac copy-paste tip. I was ranting a little bit about how I hated that it used Command-C and Command-V versus Control-C and Control-V, and I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
He says I can easily just go in the System Preferences in the keyboard section and remap or change the keys that are used. And so if you're running Mac operating system and that's bugging you too, there you go. System Preferences under Keyboard. Dig around in there. I'm sure we'll find it together.
And you can do your delete and backspace, too, probably?
I don't know. Well, there is. See, the problem is on the Mac keyboard, there's only one key. It says delete, but it is backspace. They don't have one of each.
Oh.
Now you comprende?
Gotcha.
Maybe George has a tip for me on that one, too. Who knows? I don't know. I'm happy about that. Thank you, George. I appreciate it. I'm going to send you a Valentine's Day card.
That's so nice of you.
I don't know about that. It seems weird.
Maybe
I'll just hit reply and say, hey, thanks. Or maybe he's listening and he heard me say thanks.
Hmm.
Anyway, thanks. Back to the phones. More virus stuff? Wait, there's another one. Somebody else that has some kind of virus 360, whatever, dealio. It's Daryl, who's calling in from Gold Canyon, way out there in the East Valley, and then a little further. Daryl,
yes.
Welcome to the Computer Corner, sir.
Yes, I have Webroot 360, Webroot on my computer, which is live, real-time, and then I have it scans once a week. But I also have Norton 360. Is there a conflict between the two?
So I personally would never recommend to anyone to run two different antivirus programs on one machine.
Okay.
This is generally not a good practice. The two may interfere with each other, may conflict with each other. You may have some weird performance issues. It's generally not something that's recommended. And the only way we recommend something like that or think that's not a bad idea is when one is a resident scanner, meaning it's always scanning in real time, and the other you're only using as an on-demand scanner. But these days, generally speaking, most antivirus programs are impossible to configure that way. There are some very specific virus removal utilities, or they scan for very specific types of viruses that you can have as extras. But running both of them in real time and scanning, and that's almost always going to present you with some problems down the road.
Okay, so I can disable Webroot and maybe just use it as I want.
It depends. Now, if we're talking about the latest stuff, yes. Now, Webroot used to just make a product called SpySweeper, and it was a standalone product. It was a run-on-demand. It was in the early days of spyware and things, and that would be okay to run as an on-demand thing. But if you have the always-resident, always-running version of both of these programs, if it was me, I would get rid of the Norton and not the Webroot, but that's up to you.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You, same advice for you, Ben?
Yeah. Yeah. That Norton is probably a trial version if it's a newer computer, too.
Yeah.
Maybe.
A lot of times it comes... Most machines these days, they'll come with some trial version, either 30 days, 60 days, 90 days max. And the idea is that actually, in that case, the antivirus manufacturer has paid for that software to be there on the chance that you're going to...
Renew
or extend the subscription. And because it's the easiest of all the choices, doesn't require you to go buy anything, download anything, install anything, do anything. All you got to do is put in your credit card number. They got a pretty good shot at getting your business. And so that's why that stuff is there. It makes the computer manufacturer money. And not necessarily always what's the best software. It's just whoever's willing to pay the most is how that ends up there. In most cases, the ones that come pre-installed as free trials, unless they're real antivirus, they come with a full subscription, meaning at least a year, that kind of thing. We almost always see those as not being the best software. We generally recommend removing those and installing something else. Generally, you're going to save money. You're going to get better performance, better product. So that's just sort of general rules of the road, if you will.
Yep.
So that's our two cents. Again, this is one of those debates that has gone on since the beginning of time, and there was a time when the product we recommended was very different than it is today, and I'm sure what we recommend today will change at some point in the future. That's why it's important to have someone you trust that can help guide you, because, as you well know, technology changes over time, and therefore, people who are in technology, what they use, what they recommend, those kinds of things will change over time as well.
Absolutely.
We got a half hour of Computer Corner left to go, so please stick around for that. Monica, Carol, Alice, and Steve, we've got room for you, certainly. We're going to take your calls, your questions at 602-277-5827. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit more about smartphones when we return right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Welcome to you, Ben.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. What did I say we were going to do when we came back?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
We got caught up in so many conversations.
I know. We were talking to Lisa, and she had questions. Everybody has questions when you come down here. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Never run out of questions.
More antivirus questions.
Yeah, there was more people with more virus issues and stuff.
Roll with those.
Should we?
Why not?
What about smartphones?
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what, if you want resources to smartphones, datadoctors.com/radio. We've got resources posted for you. If you want to know what Ben has, what I have, what Ken has, all the guys at Data Doctors that have smartphones, we've pretty much all gone to the iPhone. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, whether it's the one you want, if you just want to know what we're using, that's what we're using. So I got nothing to gain from telling you it. That's just what we use. I love it. I love everything except for the actual cell phone service, which, funny enough, is not so hot sometimes.
Oh, man.
I came from another place where there's the... they have that big V. Can you hear me now? Those guys?
Yeah.
Their network was pretty awesome. Their phone selection was pretty not. Here we got what I think is the awesome phone, but now the network's not so hot. So, frustrating. Out at my house, suddenly, it's been working great all of a sudden, like the last couple of weeks. It's like I'm in a black hole. I can make a phone call, it's almost like clockwork. I got about 20 seconds worth of talk time, and then bloop, there it goes. And I can call right back and connect and talk again about 20, 30 seconds, bloop, it's gone.
And when I'm driving around the freeways, you know, during the day, I'll just hit one spot, hung up, just like that.
Yeah, driving around, sometimes you'd get that with the other guys, too. But when you're standing in one place and you can make a call and it drops, and you can make another call and it drops, and over and over and over, and you look at your phone, full signal strength, full bars. You know, the more bars, the more places, they're not lying. Doesn't necessarily mean that the service is working.
Yeah.
Apparently. I don't know. I'm just a little bit amazed at that.
I just know my other phone, my other little Katana 2, my old cheap phone I got.
Yeah. Yeah.
No drop calls ever. Just it's
wonderful. So maybe there's a price for smart. Phone smart. Actual talking on phone.
Yeah.
A little less than smart.
Yeah.
I don't know. Back to the phones.
Yeah.
Steve in Goodyear is up next here on the Computer Corner. Steve, welcome.
Yeah, hey, thank you. I love watching your show, listen to your show every week. The quick question I have is, on my screen it shows certificates expired or something like that.
Okay. Going to web pages, like every page, only some pages, don't know.
Well, it just won't go away. Every time I go to a different page, it still stays up there.
So Ben, you're shaking your head yes, like you have some idea on this one?
Yeah, I kind of do, actually. What's the date on your computer say? Like, if you double-click the time in the bottom right-hand corner, what's the date on there?
A lot of times, this sounds funny, but a lot of times we'll find people that bring in their computers that are having this kind of issue. A lot of times they have other issues, too, but their date will be set way, way off by years.
Yeah.
So if you go to the lower right-hand corner of your computer down, you'll see a little...
Yeah, I know the time's right, but I haven't checked the date for a while.
So if you double-click on that time, it's going to pop up a calendar and show you the date. Pay special attention to the year, because sometimes people look at it and go, oh, yeah, today's February 14th, no problem.
Okay, you might, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, hey, guys, thank you very much.
All right, take a look at that. That's probably going to solve your problem, all right?
I sure hope so. You guys are good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's one of the easier ones.
That's a fun one.
Yeah. The date, and it'll be, oftentimes, you'll be set way in the future.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
So you'll be set 20 years from now, something like that. So, of course, everything looks like it's expired because it expired way back in 2010. Remember that? Yeah. Way back then?
Wow.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, yeah, check out your date and time when you're getting that kind of problem. And how we know that is just lots of years of experience working on lots of computers and lots of stores. And that's why you're listening, I think.
Yeah.
Back to the phones. Up next is Carol in Glendale. Carol, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi.
Hello.
I dusted my whole house waiting for you guys.
You dusted the entire house? Hey, Carol, do you have a cell phone?
A cell phone?
Yeah.
No.
You have no cell phone?
Oh, I do have a cell phone, but I'm on my house phone.
Is it your cell phone? Is it a smartphone or just a regular phone, calls?
No, it's just a regular. It's not a smartphone.
Gotcha. Because we were talking about smartphones today, and I thought I'd engage you on that. But obviously, you got no use for a smartphone, or you'd have one, right?
I wouldn't know how to work it.
Unless it dusted her house for her, right?
Well, some of these people have talked about the phone response to voice commands, so maybe you would know how to work it, right?
Oh, maybe. I suppose once I got it and fooled around with it, it's just like my computer. I know how to do some stuff, but some stuff I'm an idiot, so...
Which is probably why you're calling us, and how can we help make your computer life more gooder, as we say? Gooder?
Well, again, it's the antivirus thing, and I was listening to all the different people, and I have a lot of the same problems. It just seems like it runs too much, I think, and it slows my computer down to where I'd like to throw it out in the garage.
Okay, when you say it runs too much, you mean it's coming up constantly while you're doing things, or
well, it just seems like it. My husband's on it a lot more than I am, and he said it every time he gets on it, it's down here in the taskbar. It has a red arrow that's going around when it's working.
Okay.
And that thing's spinning all the time, half the time, and you can't do anything when that thing's running. And I don't know why. I have it set just to run once in the night.
Right.
You know, around 3 in the morning when using it.
It sounds like something may be wrong, and there are a couple of programs, and if you have anything out there that's a little bit out of the sort of off the beaten path, for example, there's an application we run in our business that a couple of the guys use, especially the guys that go out on site, that if you have, you have to go in and do something called exclude. You have to exclude the directory where the folder where the program lives. Otherwise, it slows the machine way down. And so sometimes there's something different that you've installed that is causing it to scan over and over and over again. And it's things that the information in files would be changing constantly.
Yeah.
So there may be something strange like that. It also could be.
Where would you go to find that exclude?
Well, first you got to figure out what it is that's causing the issue. And so I'm just talking about one potential issue. It's kind of rare, kind of extreme, but that's out there. The other thing is that sometimes the program, something can just get in conflict. It can be outdated. Something could have gone wrong during an update. Mm-hmm. And now the antivirus program itself is just, something's not quite right and it has to be fixed.
Yeah. What I did was I renewed my subscription with them for 3 years over the Internet, okay?
Okay.
And it just seems like ever since I did that, I keep getting the window saying I'm not protected. And then I go into the security center and it says I am. And it's just driving,
Something isn't quite right. I'm guessing that when you renewed, it probably tried to upgrade or update what you have.
And something
didn't go quite right.
And how would you get it? I've even called them, and every time they try to help me, they said, well, it's shown it's okay now. I said, yeah, sometimes it is.
Yeah, the help from those guys, unfortunately, is not that great. The problem is that the renewal, the manufacturer tries to make it so easy, but the reality is that over time, the program needs to itself be updated, not just new definitions for it. And so I think it's a good idea to...
I do all the updates whenever they come out. They let you know when there's an update.
Right.
I don't know. I'm about ready to call and tell them I want my money back.
Yeah, you're probably going to need to either go that route and get that off your machine and kind of start over.
Yeah.
Or enlist the help of a friend or somebody a professional. Yeah, whatever it's going to be, you're going to probably need to get some help because it sounds like you got a lot going on there and something didn't go right in that upgrade process.
Uh-huh.
And until that gets resolved, you're just going to be frustrated.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, that's for sure.
All right. I wish I had better advice for you, Carol.
Well, that's okay. I enjoyed listening to all the problems everybody has.
And we helped you dust your house, see?
Yeah, you did.
In a strange way. Hey, thanks for the call, Carol.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Pete's looking like, how do we help dust the house? You missed the first part. She was on the phone so long. I feel bad. Thanks for holding so long, Carol. Everybody else who's been holding so long, we really do appreciate it. We really want to help you guys out. So we thank you for hanging on as long as you have and did. By the way, we've been talking a little bit about smartphones. If you're interested in getting caught up on some resources, we've got them posted for you. datadoctors.com/radio. If you have an iPhone, a BlackBerry, a Palm, a Windows Mobile, HTC, LG, Motorola, who knows what your thing is. If it's smart or even semi-smart or even half-intelligent, we've got resources for you. We've got comparisons if you're thinking about going out and buying one of these things. If you're thinking about switching from one to the other, there's all kinds of stuff there. So check those out again, datadoctors.com/radio. We're going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. We'll wrap things up and we'll be on our way. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. Ben wants you to know, if you missed any part of the show, don't worry. We got your back. We got resources. Ben, tell them where they go.
datadoctors.com/radio.
And there you'll find the resources. And shortly after the show, you'll find the audio archive of this show. In case you missed past shows, you can click where it says previous shows. You can go way, 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 way back in time for years and years and years and catch up. So check those things out. They're there anytime for you. And before we run out of time, let's see if we can help out all those remaining here on the phones. In case we don't get to you, just know that we will take you off the air and get you help either way. We appreciate you hanging on, and we're not going to just abandon you there. So keep that in mind in case we don't get you on the air. Hey, John, you're up next here on the Computer Corner.
Yes, hi.
How are you, sir?
I appreciate your program, and thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Okay, very quickly, and I could spend an hour explaining everything that happened to my computer, but...
we will take it in less than an hour, if possible.
Right. I've been running Windows XP for probably 6, 7, 8 years now, and of course Microsoft kept bugging me about putting in SP3. I finally waited all this time figuring they'd work the bugs out. Installed SP3, and guess what? The computer went all wacko.
Went all wacko, huh?
Right. Right.
All right.
And was running maybe somewhere around 35 processes, and it suddenly jumped to 43, 45, and I can't get on the internet. I believe I'm receiving stuff on the internet because I get the daily updates on the antivirus from Norton, that kind of thing. So I've gone through everything. I know just enough about computers. I've done it before, but I know just probably enough to be highly dangerous. And it's down to the point where I'd like to just reformat drive C, wipe everything off, and
okay.
reload the whole thing. And I can't find a way to format.
Okay, well, before you try to just format, that's sort of the old way. You had to manually go format, and then
right.
you had to install the operating system. You had to do a bunch of things in succession. You said you're running which version of Windows?
XP.
Okay, so the good news is you don't have to worry about formatting.
Mm.
You stick your Windows XP disk in the machine, make sure that that's set to be the default boot drive, and you have to go maybe into your BIOS to do that. You know how to do that?
Not really.
Okay. Well, by default, most computers are set up that way. That can be changed. But assuming everything's set that way, when you stick the original Windows XP disk in there, it will try to boot to it. It'll come up on the screen and say, press any key to boot from this disk, or wait, and it times out.
I understand you now.
Okay. So now when it boots to that disk will walk you through the process of installing an operating system and upgrading, and it'll give you the option somewhere along there to delete partitions, reformat, reach partition, all those kinds of things.
Well, there's a strange thing happens when I do that. I have that disk in right now, and Windows setup, and it cannot continue because the version of Windows on your computer is newer than the version on the CD.
Mm.
Well, this is the same CD I used to put it in to begin with.
But you have Service Pack 3 now.
Well, something, I'm not sure I got it because, well, I am sure that it put some things in it, but it just destroyed the...
When you put that disk in, are you putting it in while you're in Windows?
I did.
Okay, so probably what you're going to need to do is put that in, but then go ahead and restart your computer.
Right.
And it should come up with a real basic black screen with some white text saying, press any key to boot from CD.
Okay.
And then that's where it, right now it thinks you're trying to upgrade your machine to an older version of Windows, and it doesn't go that way.
Okay.
If you put it in, it's going to give you the options to do what we were talking about, where you can start over.
Now, when I do that, does that reinstall the directory? Because I think something's gotten in there that's really screwing things up.
It's going to give you the option to reformat. Understand that everything you have on that computer will be gone. All settings, all data, all information,
yep.
all programs, everything.
Does it give you the option to just reformat drive C because I have partitioned this into C, D, and E?
Yeah, you can remove partitions. You can do everything in there that you want to do. Again, be very careful.
Very careful.
If you don't know what you're doing, you'll remove everything.
There's right. one more thing you can try, sir. If you go to Add Remove Programs, you can just uninstall Service Pack 3, possibly.
I did that, and it said it couldn't find Service Pack 3.
Okay.
That right after I installed it. Okay.
So I just want to caution you again. Make sure you've backed up things you care about. We see people in our short stores all the time who
right.
thought they were doing one thing, and it turns out they were doing another, and now their stuff they care about's gone, and they want to know, how do I get it back?
I can, I have all my operating personal programs, that kind of thing, in C, D, or E. I mean E, I'm sorry, D, E, or F.
Yeah, the drive letters that you know today may or may not look that way when you're booting to this disk the way we're talking about. That's why I'm saying, unless you really know what you're doing, I would highly recommend you make a complete backup of everything you care about.
I have that also, but
okay.
that's the reason I partitioned the thing. When I've done this in the past on other programs and in XP a long time ago, found that it doesn't disturb stuff in those other partitions.
Sure. I mean, there's lots of ways to manage your data. I mean, you're talking to two guys that do this all the time. I would never partition a drive on purpose. I would always remove those if it was me. There's more downside than upside, but if it's working for you,
yes.
great. Just be careful what you do.
Because I can do antivirus check and those kind of things on C, and it doesn't take hours and hours because of the size of the disk.
Sure.
Okay. I cannot get on the internet, though, and occasionally they want you to register or something like that. What can I fix to get on the internet?
I,
before I do this.
What do you, I'm trying to understand Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pop you on hold and see if we can help you a little bit off the air, because it's you're getting a little bit specific with the questions, and I want to find out more about what's going on there. So we're going to help you out there. Real quick, Alice, we're going to see if we can do this in about 1 minute or less. So ask your question, please. Alice?
Oh, yes.
Alice, is there Alice in Wonderland? We've got not much time left, so...
Okay. Is there a way to send email and know that the person that you send it to has picked it up without them having to answer anything?
Definitely maybe.
Okay.
So Microsoft years ago and now other programs have built in some ability to do what's called a read receipt.
Yeah, but that means that the person has to say that they got it, right?
No, it's super unreliable. I mean, if for all practical purposes, the answer is no. There's no way to know absolutely 100% for sure. A lot of companies have tried to make this something that works, and it's not reliable at all. It depends on you and the person receiving having the same kind of email, client, a bunch of other things that just, in reality, when we're talking about the internet and email, there's really no way to for sure know. So that's a short answer to a pretty long, in-depth question. I wish I could be more specific for you, Alice, but if you're looking to try to get something like that done, there's alternatives to email that let people know, and you might want to look into those just by Googling read receipts in email on the internet in Google. So check that out. Again, if you missed any part of the show, datadoctors.com/radio. Until next time, remember, if you don't need it, don't install it. We'll see you next week.